Salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good Wednesday morning. Let me get my screen working here. Good Wednesday morning, folks. Thanks for getting up and joining us. Got a lot, man. I just got up this morning. I slept like a rock again last night. I was in bed at 9 o'clock. We have Todd and Leslie Barmer here with us. Praise the Lord. They've come all the way from Dallas. Lexi works for Created Equal. Their daughter, Lexi, works for Created Equal. And she's has been all week in Milwaukee with Created Equal at the Democratic Convention. And so Todd, who really isn't allowed to fly yet because of some of the medical conditions he's been dealing with, Todd drove in from Houston, and Leslie flew in from Houston. But her plane was delayed about 3 or 4 different times, and they were supposed to get in early yesterday evening. They didn't get in until later on. I went to bed. I'm quite a host. I went to bed at 9 o'clock. It is what I do. And so they rolled in about 10, I think, maybe a little bit after 10, and they haven't gotten up this morning. But hadn't seen them in a while. Look forward to seeing them, and just always good to touch bases with friends. You know, I'm trying to get my image up on the screen. Can't see me anymore. Something going on. Nope. I don't know what the heck. Maybe I'm hitting the wrong button. Anyway, listen. I didn't watch the Democrat convention last night. I really didn't even do a lot of research on what's going on, what they're saying, what's this guy saying, what's that. I really didn't even go there. So if you tuned in to talk about politics, I'm not going to talk about politics today. Let me give you a heads up about a couple really, really things I got going on that are exciting. Mike, if I seem distracted, it's because I'm distracted on my end trying to get my. I got your screen up on mine, and I can't get mine off. So don't mind that, folks. Technical issues. We'll get through it. Mike, click on, if you will, click on what I have up there first. Dr. Carla Dean Graves. Dr. Carla Dean Graves. She's going to join us on Friday. I've been trying to get a hold of her. In fact, our friend Kevin in New Hampshire is wanting to put me on to her. And Dr. Carla Dean Graves has been around for quite a while, from the very, very get-go, talking about vaccinations. Hydroxychloroquine. Right out of the box, she was one of those screaming the loudest about hydroxychloroquine. And Mike, if you will, just click, and so you guys all can get just a little bit of a feel of what she's going to talk about. She's with Alex Newman. We had Alex on our show before. Let me just give you a couple minutes of what Dr. Graves is going to talk about here with us on Friday morning.
Hey, while we're waiting on her, you know,
yes.
Have you seen the news that the death rate in Africa, the poor African countries, is about 100 times less than
amazing.
The death rate in the U.S.?
I
haven't heard anybody give the exact reason why, but in my mind, it's hydroxychloroquine, because hydroxychloroquine is all over that continent because of their malaria.
That's right. Well, she's going to talk about that, Larry. So just go, just play a minute or so. So that she's going to be with us Friday morning.
So I will just say that that's why I think that physicians need to be involved with their patients directly. And this is one of the biggest reasons that I do not like the idea that the FDA actually approved the hydroxychloroquine only for hospitals, because I don't think anyone knows you better than your own family physician that you go to.
Yeah, and that brings up a really important point, Carla Dean. In fact, I actually heard about hydroxychloroquine from you weeks before it became a hot topic of national conversation. You had been talking about it and talking about some of the studies that have been done overseas. What are your thoughts? Is this an effective treatment? And did the FDA mess this up by saying that it could only be available at hospitals? You know, is this something that doctors ought to be prescribing more broadly to patients who come in? Should they be taking it as a preventative measure to protect themselves? What's the story with the hydroxychloroquine? And you know, what do you think about the government's handling of this so far? I know even a couple of the Democrat governors originally, they threatened to prosecute people and come after them if they prescribed this, because apparently it hadn't been FDA approved yet for coronavirus. What are your thoughts generally on this possible treatment option and the government's response to it?
I think that hydroxychloroquine has not maybe been approved for COVID virus, but tell me what has. And I think that they meaning those that are not advocating for hydroxychloroquine, what they say is they don't say that it doesn't work. Listen to what they really say. They are saying that it hasn't been tested for COVID-19, but nothing has thus far. As I go back to, neither has social distancing. This drug has been around.
That's interesting, right? She said that they didn't say that it doesn't work. They're saying it hasn't been tested. And Larry, what Larry said is really, really important. It has been around for about 70 years, used as a malaria drug in Africa in particular. And what'd you say, Larry, 100 times less rate in Africa?
Yes.
And it's because of the use probably of malaria, because they've been using this drug. It's amazing. So she's going to join us on Friday. And she calls them like it is and tells it like it is. Mike, if you could real quickly go to our homepage, because I want to show all of you something. Go to the video page, Mike. I saw, folks, listen. I get so much. God bless all of you for sending stuff to me. I really, really mean that. I really mean that. I've got so much there. I've got three videos on our website. If you do not take an hour, listen, do you guys know how to speed up a video? If you're watching a YouTube video, Mike, let's show them how to do that. Go down here, Mike, and click on any of these YouTube videos. Click on me if you want to, on the one of me, clear down the end. Now, folks, watch. This will speed. Some people talk really, really fast. Some don't talk quite as fast. If you go to YouTube or this right here, if you look down at the bottom, there's a little gear down there. And right beside the little gear, it says one time. Next one, Mike. One time. Do you see that, friends? One time. That means you're playing it at a normal speed. But if you want to speed it up, you can click on 1.5. You can click on 2. I take videos and I start at 1.5. And if I can still follow it at 1.5, I'll kick it up to 1.75. Sometimes I'll watch a video on 2.0, meaning twice as fast. Because a lot of us, when we present things, all of us, there's a lot of dead time. Like I pause and I think. And that makes the video longer and longer. So if you really want to get to the information, just go to that little gear and it will tell you, you can do it. And Mike, if you could pull up a YouTube video real quickly, go to YouTube. Folks, I think this is really important that you get this. This will speed up your life. It'll help you speed up your life. So if you go directly to YouTube, you can do the exact same thing at YouTube. And I want to thank Chad Estes because he's the one that introduced this to me. I had no idea. I used to just labor through these videos that are 2 hours long. Okay, now look, on YouTube, Mike clicked on that little gear. Do you see that little gear down there? Click on that, Mike. And he clicks on it, and it says playback speed. So you go to playback speed, and look, you can listen to it at normal. You can listen to it at 1.5, 1.75, 2. You can speed it up. I always watch the videos at a faster speed. Always do.
It was first discovered in 1937. Hydroxychloroquine actually came.
Now, do that. Mike, now listen, folks. When it first comes on, it's going to be hard for you to follow. But all you got to do is listen for about 20 seconds, and you'll pick up the rhythm of what she's saying. Play it a little bit at high speed, Mike.
It was approved by the FDA in 1955. But it was approved as an anti-malarial drug. And it's been used for many, many other areas in medicine, such as rheumatoid arthritis, lupus. It's been used in dermatological conditions. There are ongoing studies now that it has been used and is being used in actually breast cancer treatment. The Spanish that I have talked with, the Spanish physicians there, have found that it is a mild anticoagulant for blood clots.
Okay, so in fact, sometimes if they are low on their supply of anticoagulation, they will use hydroxychloroquine.
Kick that up to 1.75 and see if I can still listen.
The purpose in America is not
playback speed,
saying that the drug is or the medication is necessarily approved for a certain or particular disease or illness. The FDA, they are to actually say if the drug is safe to use. They are not supposed to be telling.
It'll make it a lot better for you. And then you can slow it back down. If there's one segment you want to hear over again, you can go back and slow it back down, listen to it again if you want to. Now, Mike, I sent you to the video page. Go to the video page because there are a couple things there I want you to see, friends. Please take the time to watch them, three of them in particular. I watched the one that about Shadowgate down there at the bottom, Mike, the second row. Shadowgate. That was Millie Weaver's video. Unbelievable. Folks, it's unbelievable. Showing you what's going on with the deep state. Again, I watched it at 1.75 speed. Got through it a lot quicker than the hour and 15 minutes, whatever it says that it is. I got all the data. And then I could go back and slow down other parts that I wanted to watch. This, if you, folks, this is a must-watch video. Do you understand it? Put it on 1.75. Break it up into different segments if you have to. But you have got to swallow this information. Video number one, Shadowgate. Then last night, my wife thought there was something wrong with me. I was sitting around yesterday evening, and I was watching Plandemic. It's the second one, Mike. And she thought I was sick because as I was listening to it, watching it, I kept saying, oh, no. Oh, oh. As the information, Plandemic. Now, this is not... You know what? I'm going to tell you how wicked the world is. I tried to take this video, Plandemic, which is posted on Brighteon. It's posted on Brighteon. I tried to copy and paste this video on Facebook. Facebook would not permit me to post a Brighteon video saying it was lies or not good information, whatever. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's called Plandemic. It's on our website. Folks, take this video, share it on your own. Listen, you're going to have to share it off of Coach Dave Live. Just take that link right there. Share it off of Coach Dave Live to your friends, to Facebook. You're going to be moaning and groaning. Oh, 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 as you see what they have done. We're fighting. We're in a, as Alex Jones would say, he was 20 years ahead of himself. We're in an info war. We're in an information war. And then one more just posted it up there this morning, and it's just as cringeworthy. And that's the very first one, Mike. Very first one. It's long. That's why you got to do it at 1.75 speed. I don't even know what Plandemic vaccine mandates, riots, and the deep state versus President Trump, QAnon, and us. This is. Are you with me? I'm telling you, we can no longer be ignorant of his devices. Then next Tuesday, Mike, click on Jack Cashel. Jack Cashel's on. I send it to you in the information. I know Jack Cashel's a prolific author. I've met Jack once or twice. We're not best buddies, but I know Jack. And Jack's going to join us next Tuesday. He has just released a book called Unmasking Obama. Unmasking Obama. It also exposes the corrupt media. His book is just out. Just came out on Monday, I believe, on Amazon, Unmasking Obama. Jack's written several great ones, but this is going to be great. Jack's going to join us Tuesday to talk about the marriage of President Obama and the media. Obama did not do what he did alone. He did it with the help of the press. Another expose. Okay, I'm going to change gears. Anybody got anything to add here before I do change gears? So Friday, Dr. Carla Dean Graves. Tuesday, Jack Cashel will be here Tuesday. And please, over the weekend, take time to watch those three videos that I just spoke about. Somebody come on in. We can't cover everything here. We just can't. Doing the best we can, but we just can't.
Now, Coach.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, while Joe's talking there, Mike, pull up the third thing. concerned citizen. Pull that up and get that video ready there. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, it seems like you're becoming a haven for forbidden video. And are we taking special precautions in that vein to protect what we have?
Good question, Joe. When the video shows up on our website, we have that. We have a hard copy of it. This video will be forever be on our website. Jared has his own servers. Our stuff, when it appears on our website, we have it. YouTube can pull it down. Not going to affect us. Facebook can pull it down. Twitter. They can all pull it down. It doesn't matter. We have it captured on our website. Does that answer your question, Joseph? So that's why, folks, I would say if you share these videos, share them to our website, because you go to YouTube, they may pull it down. Like yesterday, I tried to share a video with about 20 different guys, and by the time I had shared it and the time they had opened it, it was no longer available. It can happen that quick. Yeah, so the videos that we put up on our website will remain there on our website. Does that answer your question, Joe?
No, my question concerns the safety and security of your website from hackers.
Jared and Mike and those guys, that's what they do. They try to secure us the best they can. Can we be hacked? Hey, Jared, can you answer that question? Can we be hacked? How secure is the stuff on our website? And by the way, we want to be able to move this all down the road planning. We want to move, Joseph, also to this being a safe place for other people to place their content. Go ahead, Jared, answer that one.
Everything can be hacked. Intel just had a leak from their, on the hardware level, there's backdoors for everything. So everything can be hacked. So there's that. There's nothing anyone can do about that. Now, given that fact, I've taken all the precautions that I can, which is physically hosting the data ourselves. The videos are encrypted. They're in a way that the videos can only be played on Coach's website due to that encryption. They can't be downloaded if we don't want them to be downloaded by anyone. So, for example, if the way that we get videos from YouTube, you can't do that in the reverse. So once it's in our vault, so to speak, it's there. As far as hacking goes, I work directly with the developer of this application on the programming side of things to find security issues and update the code. I mean, we update the actual code of this thing every day. So it is user, you know, we could lock it behind a user account if we need to at any point to make it private. Yes, we've taken precautions.
Everything can be hacked, but we've done everything we can to keep from being hacked. And it's our problem. We have it. So if you share something off of our website, folks, it's going to be there and people are going to be able to see it.
Hey, Jared, just a quick question. I know you talked about downloading. What are the possibilities of buying like a 4 terabyte external hard drive that you can actually back them up to that you unplug and set off to the side in case the site ever was hacked, you have access to automatically reload them?
Yeah, Dale, that's a great point. And in the IT universe, as I've learned, 2 is 1, 1 is none, right? So I keep a copy in New York of all of Coach's stuff, and I keep a copy here. I keep 2 copies here, actually, for weeks of backups. So you're right. Dale is correct, actually, more than what I was saying in the sense of backups really are the best security, and we do have quite a few backups.
And see, folks, one of the things that we did, a lot of our stuff originally was stored at YouTube. And when stuff is stored at YouTube, they own it. And with a flip of a switch, all of our content could disappear. And so Jared, about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, became aware of that and started downloading everything we produce onto our own files. We have hard copies of everything we produce. Does that answer your question, Joe? Did that help a little bit?
Well, I was going to watch Shadowgate video yesterday on my television. Via Wi-Fi, via their web browser, and it wouldn't go. I mean, it loaded up the whole thing, but would not play it due to code errors, whatever, that kind of thing. I don't know if the problem's on my end or if it's the connection. or what have you. That's the only reason I bring it up is because, I mean, I can pull it up on the computer, no problem.
These are good questions, Joe. These are good questions.
I'd rather be sitting on my couch.
Yeah. Any help, Jared?
Yeah, Joe, I'd say go ahead and shoot me an email, and or we can talk on the phone, and I'd be curious to see what kind of issues you're having because we can fix it.
Okay, cool. All right.
Folks, listen again. See, they program us. For instance, I heard somebody say the other day, I know who it was, Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle said, stop using Google. Now, I don't know about you guys. That's like breathing air, isn't it? Google it. They've got us mind trained to use Google, right? We could use Bing. We could use DuckDuckGo. There's a lot of search engines you could use. But we all, 95% of us, naturally use Google. So we're creatures of habit. And when you want to watch the show, where do a lot of you naturally go? YouTube. And then when YouTube pulls it down, then you say, Coach, what's up? You're not up on YouTube. And that's why I say always go to CoachDaveLive.com. We will always be at CoachDaveLive.com. When we go to YouTube, we are using their platform. They control it. Okay? We think it's free. They make money off of us. Right? It's not free. It may be free to us, but they make money off of us. We've tried to monetize a little bit here. I don't know how that thing works. We're supposed to get some money for every click, every view, all that kind of stuff. But we're not about monetizing, making money on YouTube.
Coach, a real quick point addressing Joseph's question about cross-device use of videos or playing of videos. He wanted to play it on his television. What's happening with the internet right now is these code bases that, like the one Jared uses, which presents videos, they're fairly new and they haven't had an opportunity to develop code that enables the sharing of the video to a television set or like Google has like 100,000 engineers on their staff, so they're ahead of everybody. Okay. But the rest of the world is catching up very fast, very fast. And the rest of the world is really upset with Google. Thank God.
So Mike, let me say this real quickly because I still don't get how this works. There's a way to monetize what we're doing. In fact, you guys say every once in a while, I'm supposed to say, hey, walk us through that, Mike, how I'm supposed to say something to make people out there who are watching for the first time make a donation. How does that whole thing work?
I'm going to try to put myself up here. So
and I don't do a very good job of it, folks. You never hear me say. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. So that I'm just now learning it. And the reason I've put off learning it is because I expect YouTube to delete us any day. So why waste time trying to figure out how all the back end works on all this stuff? But anyway, you are monetized on YouTube. So people can watch your show live on YouTube, and they can do something called a super chat, which is where they donate $20 or $10 or $5 or $1, and it'll show up in the chat on YouTube only, on the YouTube platform. It'll show up.
Somebody's watching on YouTube, and right. Larry Richardson throws in $10 because he likes what he's seeing. It'll show Larry just donated $10.
That's correct.
And the idea being that it might inspire other people to do the same thing.
That's right. So that's what that's about. And they also are supposed to send us a little bit of money because they serve ads on your videos. So
they are. That's another thing, folks. If you want to watch YouTube and you hate the ads, well, don't watch it on YouTube because they're putting the ads in there. We're not putting those ads in there. They are. You go to CoachDaveLive.com. It's always there. Hey, sorry for a 24 minutes of technical talk, but I think it's important. Anybody else? Any other question? Okay, Mike, let's play this concerned citizen, and I'm going to ask you a question when we get done. By the way, I got this from about 20 of you sent this to me. But thank God. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I love it when you send me stuff. I do. That's why I like speeding it up, because I can watch it real quickly and try to get through it. And then some of you have been really doing a good job saying, hey, Coach, go to the six-minute mark and watch this. Direct me. If you got something you want me to hear specifically and it's 35 minutes, I get that link. Say, oh, man. Not that I don't want to watch it, but it's 35 minutes, right? If I speed it up, it's 17. But if you say, you got to hear what she says at 10-minute mark, that helps me as well, okay? So a bunch of you sent me this, And I think this is more real than what we understand, Mike. This is just a, it's just a God-fearing, this is a good, this guy's speaking at his local city council. Go ahead.
Be here, you know, Sheriff, good to see you. I'm telling you guys, you know, I'm pretty appalled at what's going on. You know, at first we sat as concerned citizens and we all wanted to figure out how to best navigate our way through this whole COVID thing, you know. And as we realized that it's not quite as dangerous as we thought it'd be, you know, I was absolutely appalled and cowardice, you know. And as you're sitting there with your masks on, I don't blame you for wearing masks, because I'd be hiding my face too if I was you for what you're doing. This is absolutely horrendous what you're doing to these people. I'm a business owner, and I'm telling you, our families are starving. You know, you guys can sit here with your jobs, you can sit here and you're going to get paid, you can fall asleep in your chair like that gentleman's doing behind his mask right there, okay? And I'm telling you right now, that right now we're being peaceful. And you better be happy that we're good citizens, that we're peaceful citizens. But it's not going to be peaceful much longer, okay? And this isn't a threat. I'm not a criminal. I've never been a criminal. But I'm telling you, good citizens are going to turn into real concerned and revolutionary citizens real soon. And nobody else is going to say that. I'm probably the only person that has a ball to say what I'm saying right now. That we're building, we're organizing, and we'll work with law enforcement or without law enforcement. But you won't stop us when time comes, because our families are starving. And if you don't hear the seriousness of my voice, I hope you open your ears and you absolutely listen to what I'm saying. Because this is a warning for what's coming. It's not going to be peaceful much longer. It's not going to be rah-rah. It's not going to be speeches. It's not going to be gathering outside saying a Pledge of Allegiance. It's not going to be waving flags. It's going to be real. When you've seen the things that I've seen, I went to war for this country. I've seen the ugliest, dirtiest part of humanity. I've been in combat, and I never want to go back again. But I'm telling you what, I will to save this country. If it has to be against our own citizens, it will happen. And there's a million people like me, and you won't stop us. Open the county. Let our citizens do what they need to do. Let owners of businesses do what they need to do to feed their families. Take the masks off. Quit masking and muzzling your children. The psychological damage you're doing to them is horrible. I've had 6 friends kill themselves since it's happened. Veterans who lost their jobs. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest hoax ever perpetuated on the American people. And you're a part of it while wearing your masks. In Shasta County, we're supposed to be red country up here. Not blue country, we're red country up here.
Red country up there. I watched this a couple times yesterday. I don't know this guy, but I know 100 like him. I know 1,000 like him, as do you. And it comes back again to what I was telling you about the videos that you need to watch, those exposés on our website. You got to watch. If you don't watch them, you don't get it. I'm just, you know, if you're watching the mainstream, if you're listening to Rush Limbaugh, if you think Rush Limbaugh is telling you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, or Sean Hannity, or whoever you might be listening to. A lot of people are laying their lives on the line. And here's where I am this morning. This is where I want to go today. Is anger sin? Is anger sin? I hear from a lot of Christians who tell me that, Coach, I love your show. I love your show. I love what's going on. I love it, Coach, but why are you so angry? Let me pause for a second and let me ask you this. Is anger a human emotion? Where did the emotion of anger come from? And what is the purpose of anger?
It depends.
And it depends. What do you mean, it depends?
Well, didn't Jesus get angry? But it depends on what you use that anger for. If it's in righteousness, righteous anger, that's one thing. But if you use that anger to go out and contrary to what the Word of God says, that's a totally different thing. That's what I'm trying to say there.
Paul, would you agree with me that the church rarely speaks of anger in a positive way? Rarely. Average Christian is not allowed to be angry. Brother, you're going to have to do something with your anger. You seem so angry. Well, what if I went around and I was giddy all the time? You guys would say, that guy's nuts, man. He's giddy. He's a, he, What is with him? But I go around and I got a little bit of edge on me. I got a little bit of chip on my shoulder because I see what's going on. And somehow I'm not righteous. Really? 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 Hey, Mike, do me a favor real quickly. Hey, guys, can I ask you something? Theological question. Thanks, Paul. Theological question. Did Jesus sin?
He was sinless.
Does anybody want to answer that? Did Jesus sin?
No.
Hebrew tells us he was without sin.
No, he didn't sin.
He did not sin. He was without sin. There was no sin in him. None. There was, because if Jesus Christ had sinned when he went to the cross, he would have been dying for his own sin, not for ours. It was required for him to be sinless because, see, the wages of sin is death. If Jesus had sinned, just like if I have sinned, the price to be paid for every sin is death. So if Jesus had sinned, when he went to the cross, he would have been paying for his own sin. You with me? Follow me? The price he would have been paying, the life he would have been sacrificing, would have been his own life for his own sin. So it was important that he would be the perfect sacrifice, the Bible teaches us, without sin. Theologically, are we all there on that? Are we all there okay on that? Everybody okay on that? Jesus Christ was without sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. Good. Okay, so Mike, play that video right there. It says righteous anger. And I want to ask you guys something, whether or not, two questions you better ask yourself as you watch this. Is Jesus angry? And if it, no, that's not it. Maybe I told you the wrong one. I'm sorry, Mike. Jesus and the Pharisees. I'm sorry. Did Jesus get angry? Did he respond to that anger? And was it a sin? Go ahead and play it, Mike.
Bread, that you can give sight to the blind. I came into this world to give sight to those who cannot see. And to take away sight from those who can. What do you mean by that?
Next video ready as well.
That we who are righteous are blind. If you were blind, you would be without sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains.
That's true! Yes.
This man walks through the devil!
No!
He's a cheat!
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites all! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You do not go in yourselves, nor do you let others enter. Blind guides! You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You bow before the letter of the law and violate the heart of the law. Justice, mercy, good faith. You are like whited sepulchres, all clean and fair without, but within, full of dead men's bones and all corruption. You see these stones, do you not? I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Yours is a house of desolation, the home of the lizard and the spider. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can any of you escape damnation? You shall not see me here again. Not until you learn to cry, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For I and my Father are one and the same.
He is a blasphemer.
This
okay,
is
Mike,
the man.
Pause that.
Whitehead sepulchres.
Pause that one, Mike, and get the next one ready. Let me ask you something. Was he mad? Huh? Did he move into friendship evangelism? Is that what he did there? Did he do some name calling? That wouldn't be very prudent today on Facebook, would it? See, I had that happen yesterday. Some guy criticized me yesterday on Facebook that I wasn't showing the fruits of the Spirit, see? Wasn't showing the fruit, as if anger, righteous anger, is not a fruit of the Spirit, huh? Come on, folks. Come on. Now, hang on.
Mike? Coach, those might be videos that are played, but I just started posting some scripture in the chat room. I got like 25 or 30 of them that are straight from the Word of God that shows not only would God's anger stirred up, but the destruction that he did because of it, because of his anger.
Okay, hang on, Dale. Hang on. Play the next video, Mike. Did Jesus sin? Hey, hang on. Freeze it. I want you to watch this, and I want you to ask yourself two things. Did Jesus get angry? And did he destroy property that did not belong to him? Go ahead.
Stop him!
Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?
What are your multitude of sacrifices to me, says the Lord?
Bring forth no more vain offerings!
You have turned it into a den of thieves.
All right, boys. Soapbox is open.
Hey, Coach.
Somebody want to tell me Jesus didn't sin? He broke other people's stuff?
Hey, Coach, that's not true. You know why? Because everything in the earth is the Lord's, so he can do with it what he wants. And
Dale. You got to render under Caesar that which is Caesar's, Dale.
Hey, Coach. The Lord's. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness, all that is in it, and those who dwell upon it, it is the Lord's.
Oh.
Hey, Coach.
He didn't do that on the spur of the moment. He sat down and took the time to craft and make a whip to use during that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't just go in there and get angry and upset and turn some tables over. He thought that plan out.
He went over and sat down, counted to 10 like his mommy told him, right? Don't do anything till you count to 10. Don't be angry and sin not. So evidently, Jesus got angry, and he went in and destroyed that stuff, and he didn't sin. Evidently.
But, Coach.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, what I was thinking, I don't know, were they selling the stuff that they used for the sacrifices at the temple?
They were selling in the temple.
Right.
In the temple.
But they're supposed to bring that on their own, right?
Right.
So they were selling basically cheapening the gospel,
merchandising it.
Instead of taking the time to get it themselves, they were trying to manufacture it on their own.
Amen.
And so, it's like, hey, that's what we do today in some cases, sell the gospel.
Right.
You know,
listen, because I'm not criticizing you. We got to be careful because, see, folks, now you're trying to, some of you, not Paul, you're trying to divert your way to motive now. Well, he had the right to do that because, and he had the right to do that because. Okay, I agree with all that. Question is, did he get mad and did he do some destruction?
Yeah, he did.
Was it sin?
He did, yeah.
Was it sin, folks?
Because, but it was a righteous anger.
Because when John Brockhoff did this, the church called him a sinner. Somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out. Because that's what, that's a great, by the way, greatest criticism I probably receive over and over and over. I'm so angry.
But Dave, that's because everybody likes a Mr. Rogers theology.
That's right. That's right. Everybody wants to feel good, don't they?
Yep.
Feel good. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. I'm going to open up Dale. Dale, you can come in here and throw some of those scriptures at it. Whatever you were going to do there. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. Right there, what Paul said there. He didn't say don't sin. He said be angry. In other words, he's telling you be angry, but don't sin. There's a difference about that. And when just reading some of the scriptures, this Isaiah 13:9 was great. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger.
Hang on, Dale. Let us get it up on the screen. It's Isaiah 13:9.
Yes, sir.
Mike's going to get that up there for us. Okay, and 13:9. See if you can scroll down to it. Go ahead, Dale. You can read it to us.
Okay. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Cruel. That's right, because you're angry. It's cruel. With fury, burning anger, to make the land a desolation. And he, the Lord, will exterminate its sinners from it. Not, brother, he's going to exterminate the sinners. Where we're supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin.
We're not supposed to get angry. We're not supposed to get angry.
Well, I'm just telling you, brother, that's the Mr. Rogers theology or reading from a Queen James Bible. But when you read from the Holy Word of God, God gets angry and he pours out his wrath.
Dale, the Bible says that he's angry with the wicked every day, right? He's angry with, why? Can somebody help me? Is anger a sin? Is it a sin? Why? Gee, Cram,
I have another question. In the day of the Lord, when you do a study on it, it's the Lord coming with vengeance. Are the so nice sinners going to tell Jesus, hey, you can't do that?
Well, they're going to tell me I can't. They're going to tell me I can't, right?
Well, isn't a Christian to be Christ-like?
Well, that Dale, that's what I'm asking here today. Did he sin? Did what he did, was it a sin? Because there are people in the church right now, in the church, small capital C, Larry, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. There are people in the church world who would condemn me if I went to Planned Parenthood and got arrested. There are Christians who would condemn me for doing that. Because why? It's not Christ-like, they would say.
No, it's because they don't got the cojones to do it themselves.
Well, I agree with that. But listen, folks, we got to come to see that young guy who stood in front of that city council. He was just saying the truth. He was just saying the truth. What was he saying? Even though I'm a Christian man, you can only push me so far here. This thing can only go so far. And at some point, I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to say no. And not only me, going to be millions of us are going to stand up and say no. And unfortunately, the church won't be behind it because the church will be what? They won't be angry.
Hey, Coach. Angry.
Yeah.
Guys will give you a rough time, man. They really don't know him, Coach. They don't know Christ. They might claim him. They know him, you know, by name only. They don't know him, Coach.
I know. Well, I understand that. I do understand it. But what about those of us who do? Okay, what would you guys do? Listen to me. Talking to me. What would you do if some man did what they did to that little boy down in, was it Georgia? That guy walked up and shot him point blank range, blew his brains out. What would you do if that was your son? Can you imagine the rage that you would have inside of you? Did it right in front of his two sisters, blew his brains out.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Paul.
Notice you don't hear a lot about that in the media, do you?
Don't hear anything about that, Paul. Don't hear anything about it. Now, would somebody tell me that the father would be sinning if he got angry? See, anger can be our greatest motivator, friends. Anger can be the thing that drives us to do what is right. Now, listen, Jesus said to turn the other cheek, but he was talking about a personal offense. There's a difference between being angry at somebody because they ticked you off and being angry at somebody for something unrighteous that they did.
Absolutely, Coach. And we should have been praying for Hitler. We should have never went to war against Hitler. We should have been praying for that leader.
Yeah, that's right. Loving him, right? Yeah. Right. That's our attitude, right? And so here we are. I'm part of the angry Christian mob. Not ashamed of it. I am. And if I'm sinning at all, it's because I'm letting the sun go down on my anger. Meaning, you mean you're going to get up tomorrow and this problem's still going to be there? When are you going to deal with it, dude? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You are angry. If you are a child of God, and if you are filtering it through the Holy Spirit of God, your anger is righteous and therefore okay.
Coach, can I take a different approach at this? Because I've had my worship pastor said this about me. My wife will tell me I got angry resting eyes. Think about that. I got angry resting eyes. She and my worship pastors say, you think he comes off this way, but you don't know his heart. And people don't know your personality.
No, that's right.
You have the personality of a coach. And they're trying to compartmentalize you into being of – it's not what you're doing, brother. You're not going out destroying anybody's property. But they don't understand you as a person and the personality that God put inside of you. And it's different for them. And it rubs them differently. Amen. John the beloved and Peter the disciple had totally different personalities. And you can see it in the way they carried themselves. And Coach, that's what they hate. They want you to be like them. And they don't realize God made you like a coach.
It's convicting, right? It's convicting. Convicting. My anger, my righteous anger is convicting. Hey, Joe Silver, why aren't you pissed? Larry, why aren't you pissed? Paul, Chris, Craig, Bob, why aren't you guys mad? Why aren't you mad?
I am mad.
Well, we're told we're not supposed to be. That's not very Christ-like to be mad. Come on, man.
I've been very not Christ-like most of my life.
I believe it, Joe. You get my point though, right? But would Absolutely. You agree? Would you agree with me, Joe? And that, folks, listen, this is really, really true. Angry people, nobody likes to be around angry people. I get that. Nobody likes it. But part of the prophetic call that's on many of you, the reason that you're drawn to this show is because you do walk in somewhat of a prophetic unction. As much as you want to, you cannot make that righteous anger go to bed. You cannot set it down like a cat and pet it on your lap. You just can't do it. And you walk into a group of a room of people, and whatever's going on in that room, if something goes against that feeling and that thing, that little stab gets pricked, that thing rises up inside of you and you cannot keep quiet. That's why they don't want to be around you. Go, Raj.
Well, I was going to say it bothers me. That's how I describe things. It when I see something rises up, and it's not that I'm right or I believe I know everything, but it bothers me, and it bothers me to a point where I have to take some verbal or physical step. You know, if that makes
sense. We should, Roger, you should. Yeah. It, nowhere does it say don't be angry. Does it say that anywhere in the scripture? Does anybody know? Help me out. Does anybody know where it says don't be angry? Does anybody know where does it say that?
If I've been in one church meeting, I've been in 100 where I've raised the issue and the remaining people all stare at you. There's two of them that have talked in the parking lot about it with you, but they don't want to publicly say anything.
Uh-huh.
And there's another one or two who are so aligned against you that anything you say is inappropriate.
Right.
But yet, you'll hear comments throughout the time you're involved in that group of what wisdom, Roger, you have on that topic. You're like, well, I only have wisdom on a couple topics. How about some of these other ones?
Yeah, that's right. Compartmentalized wisdom, huh? Yeah, yeah, Randy.
Coach, that was very well put. I thought how you put that last part. A lot of people that are prophetic, they see the sin and they see all this, and there is an anger that rises up in them against injustice and all these things. And that is a God-given thing. You know, I have that, and I've had to deal with that. And a lot of people think, why are you so angry? And I'm going, I'm not. I love people. I love people. I like to laugh. I like to have fun and all that. But, Coach, whenever I see this, and it just my spirit man just says no, and it says no. That is a great, to me, I think we should all move to that. We should try to walk in that. You know, and it's not, we're not mean people. I'm a nice guy. But when I see that, I can't help that. That's what's in me. That's how, Randy, I'm wired, Coach.
I'm with you. Now, listen, folks. Most anger is a secondary emotion. Most anger. The primary emotion is fear. You get angry because you're afraid. That's why a dog growls. He's not mad at you. He's afraid. He doesn't know what's going on. And that's a signal to, hey, I'm scared here. I'm scared here. All right, I'm scared. And it comes across as angry. He's not angry. In fact, after he gets to know you, you can pet him and he'll start licking on you and everything else. So fear is a secondary, anger is a secondary emotion to fear. Fear. Righteous anger, hear me, is not fear-based. It's not fear-based. When I go to the abortion clinic and they're killing babies, I'm not angry out of fear. I'm angry out of righteousness. When Mike Heath calls me a name, I'm angry out of what? Fear? I'm angry out of personal assault. Turn the other cheek. That's not the type of anger we're supposed to. I'll get him. I'll get even with Mike. No, no, those aren't the same emotions. Those are not the same. And so we have to check and see where our anger is coming from. And if our anger is coming from a position of righteousness, folks, we shouldn't tamp it down. Hey, Mike, pull up the thing, six types of base. It's the second email I just sent you. It's a different email. I want you to see this real quickly. Oh, my goodness. We ought to be angry. There's some stuff we ought to be angry about, folks. There's some things, if the Christian church got angry, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. Why don't we have anger over the killing of little babies? Okay, so then
that's exactly it, Coach. If those walls could be glass at an abortion clinic and you saw that doctor take that scalpel and sever the head off of that baby, would you just be standing there at that moment? Would we be just standing? I mean, brother, I'm just telling you.
Dale, I can't even watch the video of that guy who popped that little kid in the head. I can't even, I just can't. The anger rises up in me like I can't even tell you. So here we go. Let's go. Let's get away from the Bible. Let's get away from the Bible. Basic emotions. During the 1970s, psychologist Paul Ekman identified six basic emotions. He did, some psychologist. Six basic emotions that he suggested were universally experienced in all human cultures. So it's, you're born that way. The emotions he identified were happiness, sadness, fear. Scroll down a little bit, Mike. Disgust, anger, and surprise. How come we're not allowed to be angry? If it's one of the six basic types of emotions that all human beings have, are you allowed to be happy? Yeah, did anybody ever say, stop being so happy? Stop being so happy. That's not Christ-like. Are you allowed to be sad? Don't be sad. Don't be sad. Stop being afraid. Are you allowed to do that? Disgust. Oh, get that thing out of here. Quit talking like that. Oh, you make Jesus look so bad. Surprise. Wow. I never thought. Nobody says anything about those, but boy, you come in and you're angry. Wonder why that is. Why is it the enemy wants us so much not to be angry? And you know what we're seeing? We're seeing a nation right now being destroyed out of anger. And people don't know who to be angry at. They don't know how to express their anger. They don't know how to redress their grievances. They do not know what to do. My wife, God bless my wife, she doesn't get upset over anything except mask wearing when she has to go into Kroger's. There's something about it that drives her crazy. She says, I don't want to go shopping. I don't want to deal with the masks. Now, folks, that affects her. It affects her emotional well-being. And multiply that by millions and millions. About out of time. Am I making sense here? Go, Larry.
Yeah, I think, you know, your question about why has Satan done such a lot of effort to make the Satanic Social Club think anger is bad is because Satan understands the power of anger.
Yes.
And he wants to use it and wants to deny it to God's children.
It's the wrath of God that drives us to repentance. Isn't it, Larry? Isn't it the wrath of God? Isn't it the fear of God? And what might happen to you? Wasn't it the fear of your father that made you behave? Or was it the love of your father? Was it the happiness of your father? No. It was the fear. You wait till your father gets home. It was the fear of my dad that made me behave.
Yeah, there's a verse somewhere. I think it might be in Acts. It says that the word of the gospel, the word about Jesus came to those who feared.
So help me wrap it up here, folks. Anger is a human emotion given to us by God. Jesus Christ himself displayed it. He showed it. When he was in there talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it wasn't friendship evangelism. Sorry, it wasn't. And John the Baptist went to the king and called the king's wife a whore, said, you're sleeping around. Hey, folks, that wasn't done out of love. Or maybe it was done out of love. But it certainly was anger, righteous anger. John was so righteously angry, he didn't care what happened to him. He was going to stand up for what was right in the midst of that situation, no matter the cost. Will we do the same? Do we do the same? No. In fact, our churches beat us down if you have any scintilla of anger. A couple minutes, somebody come in. I don't have a finish to this thing. I don't have a finish. Hey,
the scripture says this, Coach, and I believe it because we don't have to be angry all the time. The scripture says in Corinthians, it says it's the kindness and the severity of the Lord that leads a man to repentance. So every opportunity could be the kindness. It could be the severity that leads a man to repentance. So, yes, sometimes anger is required.
Folks, listen, I'm not angry. I have a righteous anger always bubbling near the surface. I always do. But I'm not an angry guy. I think those of you who know me know I'm an okay guy to be around. My grandkids love me, my wife loves me. I think my kids love me. People know me, love me. But this, it's not an act. But this thing we're doing here, a lot of it is anger based. I have to admit, it's anger. It's truth based. It's truth based. Why aren't you angry at the way the truth is being walked on and destroyed? Truth is falling in the street. It cannot get up. Why doesn't that make us angry? It's going to impact our children and our grandchildren and their future. Why don't we get angry? I don't know. I don't know. We can get mad at the IRS. We can get mad at the government. You can't. So there's your question for the day. Did Jesus sin? Yeah, come on in.
Hey, tell your wife I'd love to grab the wine by his jugular vein.
Deserves it. Stephanie just said it's not anger, it's passion. I think that's probably true, Stephanie.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
The best statement to end on really is to just say, be angry. Be angry at sin and evil, but sin not.
That's what Jesus said that, Randy. Be angry, he said. And just don't sin. Just don't sin. So we're going to ask ourselves, as old John Brockhoff, did John Brockhoff when he burnt down that abortion clinic, did he sin? Did he sin? Would Jesus, if Jesus was here, would he have done it? Wow. Those are touchy things, right? We don't want to go there. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.